Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Bryden Ross with the Consumer Energy Alliance. Americans off coal happens. For me personally, I see these pipelines as even more advantageous and more needed to get LNG or oil or whatever the fossil fuels might be, whether it's a bridge or whether it's here to stay for the long term. I definitely see where the pipelines are needed in order to be the supplement as these coal plants just they have a hard time meeting the EPA's regulation. Are you guys following that at all in terms of kind of the change and the switch of our energy supply?
Absolutely. Yeah, we are definitely tracking that development. And you're highlighting one of our, you know, kind of practical concerns with the Clean Power Plan is that so much of what your EPA envisioned, setting aside their lack of authority to get involved in state electricity markets and to force these changes, it's getting into the practical aspects of completely switching over in many states, very coal-heavy states, you know, the only options you have on a short-term fix to meet these emissions requirements it would be fuel switching to natural gas in some cases. You know, but there's that, you know, a problem is that you have to build the infrastructure to do that. And, you know, that takes a long time to site. It takes a long time to raise capital. It takes a long time to get, you know, state siting approval and authority as well and federal siting authority approval. And so that we don't think EPA and others were even contemplating at all when they set these political mandates. Absolutely, we track that. And from CEA's perspective, you know, we're agnostic about what powers the kilowatts on the transmission line so long as it's affordable and reliable. And the reality is we're going to need baseload fossil fuels for a long, 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 long time. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't develop other renewable resources as well, but even people who support a lot of the federal actions from EPA recognize that we're going to be using fossil fuels for a while. And our concern really is, what does that mean for regular people at the end of the day that have to pay these bills? And for so much of our energy policy has really been a zero-sum game where if someone is up, then someone else must be down. And, you know, from our aspect, we need everything. And that means, you know, we need pipeline infrastructure, baseload coal, we need wind, we need solar, we need it all, we need nuclear and everything else. But when there are inconsistencies in state policies, I'll give you a great example. Things that we didn't agree with, but, you know, regions of the country, New England, have said no to coal plants. They won't relicense their nuclear units, and they forced fuel switching to natural gas, but won't build any pipeline infrastructure to meet that demand. So on really cold days, like the polar vortex, they didn't have enough natural gas to meet home heating demands and electricity demands and industrial demands. And this was a human-caused problem. And we've got people and groups trying to stop the pipeline infrastructure necessary to meet the mandates that the policymakers created. And for us, it just makes no sense, you know, that there can be a balance. Look at this, it includes more renewables. But at the end of the day, you know, consumers are paying over 50% more for electricity because they're not building new pipelines. You know, we've got to change that mindset. And so for us, that's how we see one of those real opportunities and obstacles and challenges that we need to get across to people is that we need a lot of energy in this country. And we've got a great opportunity with pipelines to help meet that demand.
Yeah, I could not agree more with you that a diverse portfolio is the future for energy. You know, I mean, we're not going to do it all with oil. We're not going to do it all with natural gas. We're not going to do it all with wind and solar. But a nice diverse portfolio is going to get the job done. And energy companies are investing that way. Are you seeing more and more energy companies diversifying their portfolio?
I think so. I mean, I think one, just to the reality of trying to comply with federal regimes that are getting tougher and tougher to meet, but also I think people are seeing the need for optionality too, and that if you don't have a stable supply or backup capacity and other resources, once the new boogeyman comes out, you know, and you are over reliant maybe on whatever the new unpopular resource is of the day. Yeah, that can put you in a tough position. We think that's unfortunate, you know, to the degree that the government is putting its fingers on the scale and trying to, you know, push technology forward and solutions or changes that aren't happening from a market standpoint. But yes, absolutely. I think companies are starting to look at a range of options. You know, and our concern is really one, we want affordable, reliable energy and reliability components. So if you're going to take a lot of baseload generation offline and think you're going to replace it with intermittent renewables, that's just not realistic. You know, until we get battery storage technology in this country to that point that can store, you know, intermittent resources and dispatch them when you need to, we're going to need baseload power in this country. That's going to come from fossil fuels and nuclear and others for a long time. And, you know, to power our economy as well for transportation side, electric cars are great and hybrids are great and people should buy what they want to buy. But the reality is we're going to need crude oil and petroleum products for a long, long, long time in this country.
Just a couple more questions here with Bryden Ross. And, you know, you bring up a good point about the automotives where, you know, Cummins is working on a natural gas engine and they just can't get over the Rocky Mountains, not enough torque yet. Ford is having test cars for people that live less than 100 or work less than 150 miles away so they can drive their natural gas car and then at home come home. Plug it in, and the problem there is that it takes about a night to, you know, it takes several hours to fill up a natural gas vehicle, and they're getting some of those kinks worked out as well. When you're talking pipelines, are we talking about natural gas pipelines, crude oil pipelines, or both? Or just talk to me a little bit about the specifics when it comes to pipelines.
Yeah, sure. In terms of the campaign, this is for natural gas and petroleum pipelines. So crude oil and refined products, you name it. We need more transmission pipelines in this country, and we need it all.
Okay, great. And last question I had for you was more of a geopolitical question. You know, I mean, every time you turn around, it seems like Saudi Arabia is in the news for either trying to destroy the market or trying to manipulate the market or whatever it is. Saudi Arabia is definitely a player, and they're making their voices heard when it comes to energy and crude oil and et cetera. How important or how much national security is involved when it comes to these pipelines?
It is critical, and thank you for bringing that question up, because I think what gets lost on people when they think of the notion of energy security, they think it means just the amount of natural resources and recoverable barrels of oil you might have, or TCF of gas. Real energy security is having abundant resources and the ability to access those resources continuously at an affordable price. And pipelines give you that capability. And, you know, one of the things that gets lost on people is, you know, these other large countries like Russia, for example, have a lot of resources, but have a tough time getting those resources to some parts of the globe. Having pipelines in our infrastructure really is one of those infrastructure assets that people don't fully appreciate, that people, I think, globally do. Because we're a big country, we can get to both coasts with our network, but we need more. That might be either refurbishing existing projects, expanding those, upgrading, or building brand new ones, especially for the Bakken region, where there's so much potential there. We just need to get that crude out to the marketplace. And so, you raise a fantastic point. And having that energy infrastructure is vital to securing energy security in this country, because it's not just having that resource; you got to be able to get to the marketplace.
All right, how can people get in touch with you? How can they learn more about your organization? Just kind of let people know about, you know, if they got any questions or want to find out some more information, how can they go ahead and find you?
Well, sure thing. Just come to ConsumerEnergyAlliance.org, on our website. We got all sorts of information. You can look up our Pipelines for America campaign, Facebook, Twitter, you name it, and I can give you the URL as well to the pipeline link from our new site. That's pipeline.consumerenergyalliance.org. We'd love to work with you anytime and help raise your voice for common sense energy policy around the country.
To listen to the full-length interview with Bryden Ross with Consumer Energy Alliance, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of Kids and Capitalism. I would like to take this time to talk to you about Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. If you are looking to buy or sell a home, you need to give Hatch Realty a call today. Hatch Realty is the number one real estate team in North Dakota, according to the Wall Street Journal, and is featured in Inc. Magazine's 5,000 Fastest Growing Private Companies in America. Eric Hatch has been endorsed by Barbara Corcoran from the hit show Shark Tank. He was voted Best Real Estate Agent by the firm of Fargo Moorhead, is an Alumni Association Horizon Award winner from North Dakota State University, and the host of Real Estate Radio. When buying or selling real estate, there is only one company to call, and that's Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Give Eric Hatch and Hatch Realty a call today at 701-212-1572. Again, that's 701-212-1572. Or check them out online at livefargomoorhead.com. Again, that's livefargomoorhead.com. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
A perfect winter getaway is waiting for you in the Black Hills. The Lodge at Deadwood Gaming Resort offers luxurious guest rooms, first-class casual fine dining, and the largest convention facility in the area. Recently voted best casino, hotel, and restaurant in the Black Hills, the Lodge at Deadwood has everything you need for the perfect winter getaway. Skiing and snowmobiling are located just minutes from the Lodge. Or ask about gaming and spa packages. Elevate your experience. Visit DeadwoodLodge.com, Deadwood's newest legend.